on the penultimate episode of this season of the Andrew and Pete Show. Amy Schmittauer and Vincenzo Landino's true relationship is revealed. Peg Fitzpatrick loves Angry Birds, and Brian Fanzo swaps water for Monster. Despacito is the Andrew and Pete Show. Oh yes, it is.
Welcome to this week's show, guys, where Pete is going to sing the rest of the show, aren't you?
No.
No? That's all they're getting from you. That's all they're getting from you. You know the drill, guys. This is the show where your favorite marketers are battling it out to be crowned the ultimate marketing champion. And there's only two shows to go, so there is all to play for. Let's get this show on the road.
Marketing. Snug, marry, avoid.
Welcome, Mark Schaefer, to Marketing Snug, Marry, Avoid. In this round, we are going to give you three marketing tools, tactics, strategies, things to do, and you have to tell us which one you would snug, i.e. use just for one day, which one you would marry, i.e. use forever, and which one you would avoid, i.e. never use or never do ever.
Are you again. Saying smog?
Snug.
Like snug. A fog?
No,
smog?
Like S-N-O-G.
Like it's not clear to me?
Snog.
Because like... things are pretty clear to me. I teach at a university.
I feel like you need to try to slip snog into your next lecture.
Snog.
Then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Snog. Yeah.
Snog. All right.
I didn't realize how busy
snog.
Snog
just, was. Just having fun with you.
Next question. When was your first snog, Mark Schaefer? No, I'm just joking.
Okay.
Is this, that goes back to the Kim Kardashian thing.
Yeah. Okay. On this round of Snog, Marry, Avoid,
we want
to talk a little bit about marketing education. So we're going to give you three ways, which are reading blogs, reading books, or listening to podcasts. Which one will you do for one day, do forever, or never, ever do again?
I read blogs every day. I read books almost every day, and I rarely listen to podcasts. I'm not an audio learner.
Mm-hmm. So which one would you snog and which one would you marry then?
Oh, okay. I just need to pick one. Okay. I will snog blog posts and marry books.
Marry books.
Okay. All right. Interesting choice.
Mm-hmm. Interesting I thought you would choice. Go the other way, being the prolific blogger you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, I might not have understood the question. I'm still stuck on the smog thing. Go ahead.
All right, Mark. Thank you very much. I feel like that was the most interesting round of Snog, Marry, Avoid we've had so far. So thank you for that. Wrong answers. Hello, Amy Schmittauer. The aim of this game is simple. All you have to do is give us incorrect answers to the questions we are going to ask you. This is quick fire, so every single wrong answer scores you 1 point. Does that make sense?
I think so, yes.
Okay, awesome. Okay, it's going to be fun.
I think, yes.
So, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Complete your book title, Vlog Like a...
Animal.
What is the most popular video on YouTube?
Gangnam Style.
Who is Vincenzo Landino?
The janitor.
When should you pay for YouTube views?
Always.
What is the best thing to do if you're scared of being on camera?
Stare at yourself in the screen.
You did too bad. You got 1, 2, 3, 4. You got 5 wrong answers. So
well
5
done. Well done, Amy. 5 wrong answers.
How many seconds was it?
That 30. Was 30 seconds.
Okay. I lose that one. Okay.
Room 101.
Welcome, Chris Ducker.
Hello, Governors.
Are you excited to do some ranting?
Yes, I'm always ready for a good rant. I'm British. After all, we love a bloody good rant.
We do,
don't we?
We do. Okay, Chris, this is your chance to banish a marketing tactic, strategy, tool, saying, person into room 101. So, Chris, what do you want to get rid of?
And not us.
Virtual summits.
Virtual summits.
I would just, my God, virtual summits drive me mad. Now, that being said, I have done some before in the past, and I will no doubt do some in the future, but always only because of one reason, and that's a relationship that I might have in place with the person that is putting them on. I probably get about 3 to 4 emails a week from people running virtual summits asking me to be a guest speaker, but only if I email my email list to tell them all about it, and only if I am allowed to sign over the rights for them to use that in a course that then they're going to sell at profit with no benefit to me in any way, shape, or form. Virtual summits are, for me personally, a total waste of time. I can honestly say I've never really got any major business out of it, and the only reason I would ever do a virtual summit in the future would be because of a relationship that I have with somebody, and I want to do them a favor because they might want to do me one at some point in the future as well. I see them as a total waste of time. They suck a crap load of bandwidth out of everyone and anything involved, and I now get to the point where I'm kind of just like, I pay them no minds. When they first came out, they were pretty cool, and then everybody did it, and now they're just crap.
Love it. Virtual summits, you really gonna find, yeah?
Lots of email requests for virtual summits for Chris. Yeah,
so everybody listening, put on a virtual summit, and
Chris will keynote it. For it. Yeah.
All right, Chris.
Here's the thing. On a very serious note, here's the thing. If they are being held by somebody that I have a relationship with, and if I feel I can genuinely provide value to the audience that they're looking to attract, then I will do it. So there's still a place for them in the right way, but I don't like the way that everybody tries to use these things, or almost everybody, to grow their email list and make money on the back end of it. I mean, it's a pet peeve, and there you go, there's my rant.
Exactly. You need to look after the speakers.
Yes.
Chris, we're going to grant your wish and put virtual summits into Room 101.
Nice.
Tweet or no tweet?
Is it a tweet? I don't know. Is it a tweet or is it not a tweet? I don't know.
Hello, Peg. In this round, we're going to show you 5 tweets, and all you have to do is guess whether you actually wrote the tweets or if we just made them up. You will get a point for everyone that you correctly answer.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yes, I've tweeted like, I don't even know how many times, 75,000, 100,000 times. So
yeah. This is a good memory test.
This is a good memory test, yes.
Yes, definitely. Okay.
All right. Okay, so the first tweet. What's your favorite Christmas song? Real or not real?
I think I did tweet that.
Final answer?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's correct.
Well, ding, ding, ding. I used to do random questions all the time.
Yeah.
Because people like them and they answer, so.
And that was in, like, July.
Yeah.
I was clearly thinking about Christmas music. What can I say?
Okay, tweet number 2. One. Here we go. I wish Starbucks delivered.
Totally true. No? Okay. Well, does it count if I just thought it? Okay, we know you well.
Okay,
next one. I finally beat Angry Birds Halloween edition. I hope there's a Christmas version.
Oh, I think that's true, because I did have a slight Angry Birds obsession back when the Halloween edition was out.
Yeah. Back in November 2010, you did. Mm-hmm. And you did tweet that.
I did.
I was obsessed
with Angry Birds. Like, I was in Italy on vacation, and I was, like, on the plane playing it. And there was this little kid next to me, and he was, like, amazing. I was like, show me how you're doing this. I was obsessed. That game was fun. I know it's still out, but I put it away. I stopped. Stop the madness.
Was there a Christmas version? That's what I want to know.
I don't think so. If there was, I cut myself off.
All right, here we go.
I say those obsessions, but yeah, Angry Birds, like, it was fun. I stand behind that.
All right, tweet number 4. Here we go. I don't think I could love Canva anymore.
Is there a graphic attached on that tweet?
There is no graphic, interestingly.
So I would say, yes, I did tweet it.
That was fake. Sorry, we got you.
We are good.
I tweeted that and you just didn't see it.
Yeah, we need to go and search that one, actually.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I might argue the judges on that one.
there would have been an image with it.
Yeah, there would have.
when I first started using Canva, I did tweet that. And I did tweet that, and then I actually started using it for guy stuff, and they saw that guy was using Canva graphics and they contacted him. That's how he even started working with Canva.
Oh,
so
really?
I bet if you look in March of 2011, I probably tweeted that.
Okay, we need to do some research after this, after this episode recording, to see if you get the point or not.
I might argue that one, I'm just saying. Okay, I mean, Starbucks one, I probably said that too, but at least I thought it. Okay, but yeah, the Canva one, interesting. Good choices. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, last one.
Final tweet.
Monumentally bored.
No. Did not tweet that.
You tweeted that on the 10th of June, 2010.
2010, I must have been like existentially tweeting. I never say I'm bored. Where was I? What was going on? I'm going to look that one up.
You need to go and look that one up.
It was 4:39 p.m.
Is that pre-Canva days, maybe?
Pre-Canva. Yeah, 2010, definitely. But I'm never bored, so that's why that one's funny.
It could have been boredom. I'm never bored again.
That my daughter sometimes tweets stuff.
Oh, really?
It, like,
we're blaming the daughters now.
Yeah.
No, like, for real, she'll tweet pictures. She'll. I'll be like, if we're in a car trip, like, answer my tweets. And she'll, like, sometimes. I never say bored, though. Like, I'm never bored.
Yeah. Well, you definitely got three right. We're going to have to go and check these other two to make sure.
Yeah. I'm bummed about the last one because I did say it and I didn't remember it, but bummer.
We'll let you off.
Would you go back and look at your old post though? Like some of the Facebook memories, like way back in the day on Facebook, it was the same thing. It would be like Facebook would say, "What are you thinking?" And we used to type like, I hope dinner's ready soon." Like we just used to write, like, yeah, you know.
It was all in the third person as well, wasn't it? Back in the day, because they had your name next to it.
Andrew Pickering is now eating chocolate. I was like, all right.
And you were like so happy. You were like, "Oh my gosh, I can tell people I'm eating chocolate."
Now it's time for the quickest marketing tip of the week. Starring our amazing guest expert, Jay Kunzo.
Good stories need conflict.
And that was the quickest marketing tip from our guest expert of the week. Marketing to Tango, Joe Pelletti. Joe, you are going to be battling it out against Andrew today as we play Marketing Tango. And
I'm a little nervous.
You will win a point for every correct answer you give. If you can successfully beat Andrew, then you will also win a bonus 5 points. So there's all to play for, a lot of points to be won in this game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you ready to play?
I'm ready to do that. I want to trade in those points for a new pony.
That's a good idea. You should get like arcade tickets. The category is books on marketing. Okay? Books on marketing. Okay. Books about marketing. So I'll give you just
a second. Can I go first or Andrew goes first?
Andrew will be going first.
Okay.
So, all right.
I'm a complete mind blank on this one.
Come on, Pat, you need to do me well. Okay. Yeah, no cheating. Okay. Yeah.
Purple cow.
Unmarketing.
Permission marketing.
The new rules of marketing and PR.
Everybody writes.
The Tao of Twitter.
Epic content.
Epic content marketing.
Hippocampus.
Killing marketing.
Contagious.
Experiences.
I'm done. I'm done.
Oh, come on. No. Plus, you got one wrong in there. There is no book called Epic Content.
I know. I was like, damn it. That's a much snappier title.
Fantastic. Well done, Joe. You managed to win that round, and you will win the extra bonus 5 points.
Here comes my pony.
Right. Okay.
We're going through all the Seth Godin catalog. Right?
I know, yeah. I'm pretty sure there was more that I could have said as well. And now, an intermission. This podcast is brought to you by Atomic, the membership site for the small but mighty solopreneur and business owner. As well as the exclusive video training and shows, there's also the Atomic Library, which is filled with guides and walkthroughs, and Atomic Perks get you money-saving deals on your favorite tools and software. You can even advertise your own deal to the members as well. So go check it out at andrewandpete.com/Atomic. The Slow Fire Round. Anne currently has her dog Abby on her knee as well. So thank you for bringing a guest. Maybe she's just evening up the sides here. 2-1-2 for this one.
I feel like I needed a reinforcement, so here she is.
Yeah. Anne, could you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. My name is Anne Handley. I am the Chief Content Officer of Marketing Profs. I have written a couple of books about content marketing. The love of my life is this little dog on my knee, and I am talking to you today from my tiny house in my backyard.
Love it. Okay, so this is the slow fire round. So we're going to slow things down a little bit and dig a little deeper. We're going to ask you 3 questions that we ask every contestant on this show. The only catch is we're also going to give you 3 words that you cannot say throughout this whole segment. Mm. Every time you use one of those words, you will lose a point. Make sense?
That makes total sense.
Okay.
Abby had it with my shenanigans, so she's out of here.
Abby is a goner.
She's not going to be helping.
She doesn't like the sound of this round. No.
She's like, I can't be part of this. I'm sorry.
All right. Here's your 3 words. You cannot say, Anne, blog, marketing, or writing, or like write or written.
Yeah, no variations of writing. Written, wrote, etc. Okay, so blog, blog, marketing, and writing. They're your 3 words.
Clarifying question.
Uh-huh.
Can I use a version of the second word that refers to the person who does that kind of work?
No, I'm going to be harsh.
Okay. That's a hard no.
Okay, question number 1. What is your most shared piece of content and why do you think it was?
I penned a post that was helping people, that was about how people might express themselves more easily through using a pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
That became the genesis for my second book.
Ah.
That's my most shared piece of content.
What was the name of your second book?
Everybody.
Everybody writes, yes. Just what, trying to catch you out.
Why do you think that post done so well? What do you think it was about it?
Because I think a lot of people haven't taken any courses on how to get the thoughts out of their head and onto a page or onto a screen for a very long time. A lot of people haven't taken classes or courses like that since high school or sometimes since college.
Yeah.
And so to offer a fresh perspective on how you could do that, how you can take the thoughts in your head and share them with the world. Mm-hmm. And especially in our social age and in an age when everybody is capable of that, we all have the tools directly at our disposal. Mm-hmm. I think that the world was ready for that message. So mm-hmm. I think that's why it did so well. And it really encouraged me to clarify my thinking around that a little bit and dig into it a little deeper and become more how to in how I talked about it.
Awesome. Fantastic. Okay, you're doing well so far.
You're doing very well. I can see the cogs turning in your head trying to think of alternate words. Yeah.
I feel like this is harder than it seems.
All right. Second question. What is your biggest time saver when it comes to creating content?
One of my biggest time savers when it comes to creating content is to use a tool called the Hemingway app, which is a tool that looks for typos in anything that's on a page. Not just typos, it can help you break up complicated sentences. It can help you with a fresher perspective on anything that you've put onto a page anytime that you're looking at words on a page. Mm-hmm. And so I always use an editor in everything that I publish, 100%. There's very little that I publish that doesn't first go through an actual human editor, someone I've worked with for a really long time and who really understands my voice and point of view. But I always use Hemingway app as just a good first pass. And it's a great way to get out of your own head a little bit and into the mind of the reader. Mm-hmm. So that's what I try to do all the time. And so that's just an app that helps you do that. It's a great first pass. Some people use it as the final pass because they can't afford an editor or they don't know any editors that they have relationships with, which is fine, you know, but I think it's at the very least, it helps me as a first pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is that like a desktop app or is that an app for your phone?
I use a desktop version. You can cut and paste your content directly into the app and it'll just, you know, spit out, you know, some sort of reminders of things that you may be doing wrong, or some clunky phrasing or, you know, passive sentences. There's a number of things that it'll flag. It really increases the readability of a site, of a piece, essentially.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Awesome. Checking that one out.
That was very difficult, by the way. I feel like I'm talking at like half speed. I guess that's why you call it slow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Third and final question, Anne. You are doing well. What do you wish you had done sooner when it comes to content marketing?
I wish I had let go of the fear a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
I've always been slightly... What's the word? I'm thinking of like all these words I can't say. No, I think that when you put your perspective out there, when you put your words out there, it carries the inherent risk that somebody will not like what you say, that you will be judged. And sometimes I think early on in my career, I let that stop me. Now I don't worry about that at all. You know, you can take what you like and you can leave the rest and that's totally fine. But there was a point where the notion of somebody not liking what I said or leaving behind or rejecting outright something that I said, there was a point in my life where I couldn't handle that very well because, you know, I wanted to always be right. You know what I mean? And so I let go of that completely, let go of that fear and just... as a result of that, have a lot more fun. So letting go of fear, having more fun.
I like that.
Love it.
I think we resonate with that as well, because we always say, if you're not enjoying creating content, then it's going to be so hard for you to keep up and, you know, actually get results from. So
yes. Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of times, like, you know, you guys know because you've heard me speak and you've – mm-hmm. read my words, you know that I talk a lot about taking risks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we live that.
But the opposite side of that is that, you know, I hear afterward from people who say, but I'm afraid. And so, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to get fired. I'm afraid I'm going to be judged. I'm afraid that my company won't let me do that. I'm afraid of that people will make fun. I mean, I don't know, it goes on and on and on. But I think ultimately you've got to take some risks and you've got to let go of that fear. Mm-hmm. You know, Homer Simpson of the great Simpson show says that trying is a first step toward failure. And that is absolutely true. But you've got to embrace that and let it go and just say, because you know it's also a first step towards success. And so it's, you know, it's figuring out how to make the right choices so that you aren't just, you know, failing, you know, over and over and over again. So there's a lot of other things that go into it. I'm not talking about taking stupid risks. I never do. But at the same time, I do think you need to let go of some risks ultimately to have the best or let go of some fear. In order to really succeed.
Can you give us like an example of something where you thought a former me wouldn't have posted this because it's too risky?
Yeah. I didn't start writing.
You were doing,
so well.
I thought you were going to make
it. You got me thinking about this. So.
That was a cheeky bonus question.
That was a cheeky bonus.
She's not going to answer it for us now.
I'm so mad at myself right now. The silence. You hear? The silence. I'm fuming at myself.
I'm glad you're in Boston and we're in the UK. Any hate mail she sends will take a while to get here.
All right, I'm just going to answer that question.
Go for it. Go on. We'll let you. You can say all the words you want to now. You've done well.
Done well. Go on.
Go on.
Because it was a bonus, I feel like I'm going to argue with all the rules on this. Again, we're going to call in the Russian judge. You said three questions. You asked three questions. And then you added the 3.5. No, doesn't count.
Let the judges decide.
No, I didn't start creating on my own site. I didn't start creating content on my own site until pretty late in the game. I had a number of sites that I had started and abandoned almost within a post or two because I just started to, I don't know, I started to feel uncomfortable. I was afraid. And so finally, I started my own site and I kind of never looked back. I realized that it was more of an opportunity for me and that if people didn't like what I had to say there, then that was their problem, not mine, really. And so, I started publishing my own site pretty late compared to, you know, other people who I am friends with in this industry who have been publishing for, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 years, yeah. You know, before I did. So for me, it came relatively late. It was a lot of internal processing of not quite like shoring myself up, not really getting the guts, but in a way just being okay with the idea that I was putting my thoughts out there and that people may not like them. And so the notion of you know, being okay with that took a while for me to really internalize.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Really interesting. Really interesting to hear that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Where can people find out more about you and connect with
you? I'm so bad at myself. I just cannot get over this right now. I take games very seriously. You know what? Honestly, I'll tell you the absolute truth. This is why I don't play games, because I get so crazy competitive. Like when my kids were small, like we'd sit around with board games on a Sunday afternoon and I would just be going in like all in, like I'm taking you down. And they're like, Mom, I'm 5. Like, no, you're going down.
I'm with you on that. I feel like kids need to learn how to lose at board games.
I feel like I'm the only nice one here who like lets people win.
I would never let my like cousins beat me at board games. No.
Yeah, so that's why I don't play games, because it's just it just gets ugly really fast, you know?
Monopoly is the worst.
Oh, Monopoly's terrible.
That's like a friends breaker.
Yeah.
Anything that comes between us, Monopoly.
Never again really? Since that fateful never again September 2014.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, there was an episode, like it actually has a date attached to it, you know? That was an incident. You'll have to share that story over a glass of Buckfast sometime.
Yeah.
And where can people find out more about with you and connect with you online?
You can go to Google and you can type in Anne Hanley, and pretty much everything on that first page is about me. You can go to my own site at annehanley.com or my fantastic marketing site at marketingprofs.com, where you can learn everything you want to know about marketing. We have great resources on there for our marketing training and education.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you so much, Anne. You have been a great sport in this slow fire round. Tool, don't drool.
Okay, everybody, next up we have the amazing Brian Fanzo, and Brian has to tell us what his favorite tool is at the moment without drooling. Okay, so he's going to be taking a sip of water, or in this case, it's actually Monster, making it a little
bit... hardcore version of Tool Don't Drool.
Yeah, this is the extreme version of Tool
Don't
Drool.
Tool Don't Drool and get your microphone sticky,
I think. So, Brian, if you can successfully tell us what your favorite tool is and why, without spilling or spraying, spitting, drooling, then you will win 5 points. If you do spit, spray, or drool, then you will lose 5 points. Are we good?
We're ready. Let's do it.
All right. Oh, that was good. All right. He's got a mouthful. Okay, Brian, what is your favorite tool and why?
Tweet Deck.
Tweet Deck.
And why? Why is it your favorite?
Managing multiple accounts.
Bonus points for anyone that made that one out.
You can have multiple
accounts. Managing multiple accounts was the answer to the why.
I feel like you did well.
That was
like
good. I'm
going to
give him the
points
for that. Yeah. Well done.
That was fun, guys.
Killer questions. This is the part of the show where you get to ask us the killer questions.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, Pete. Firstly, congratulations on doing the Great North Run. Amazing, amazing achievement. So my killer question is, which social media account excites you the most? So when you've got a new marketing project, which one is it, whether it be Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, which one do you think, oh, I can't wait to get my teeth into that?
Awesome question. That came from Catherine Knowles of Cura Insurance.
Yeah, and also firstly, just thank you so much for the shout out for the Great North Run. It was a lot of effort. It was tough, but it was harder on my brother who was pushing me in my wheelchair. So massive shout out to him because he's an inspirational guy. So thank you.
Yes. To the question, though, what social media platform excites us the most? I think this is a really interesting question for this moment as well, because we've always been big Twitter guys. And to be fair, we still are. We still absolutely love Twitter. I think when we're launching anything new, we are definitely looking at how we're getting out on Twitter, just because it is so open. But we are turning more and more and more towards Facebook, even though we are B2B. We're just loving what you can do with Facebook these days, aren't we, Pete?
Yeah, there's so much innovation. It's crazy. Like, there's a new feature or a new update every single week. And all the time, it's just getting better and better and better. And once you know how to play the algorithms, you can get so much reach and so much engagement. It's insane. So we absolutely love Facebook just for that reason, but also just the advertising platform. Like, we never really liked Facebook. We were always just hard on Twitter and YouTube, but we only ever kept Facebook ticking over just so we could use the ads platform, because we think that is a great opportunity for every small business owner. But now we're actually using it to get our content out there much more. We're using it much more, not just for the ads. And it's really exciting at the moment because you've got things like live video. That's getting new features all the time. Bots are really exciting at the moment. And there's just so many, updates. It's like crazy. I can't even list them all.
So Facebook, we are falling back in love with you. Thank you so much for that question, Catherine. That was a great one. That was Killer Questions.
Surprise! Guest of the week.
I'm actually super optimistic about this week's special guest. He seems like a really nice guy. We've got on well in the pre-chat. We are about to talk to, guys, Mr. Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, yes. This is going to be great. I'm excited. Oh, hang on. I've just got a message off him on MySpace. It says, guys, are you kidding? I would never be seen dead on that show. Regards, Zuckbot. Oh, well, that's a bit harsh, isn't it?
I've always been Team Eduardo.
I guess that just means we don't have anyone for the show today, then.
Damn it. Let's just go to the scores.
Okay, that is the end of episode 9. Andrew, this is getting tense. I'm excited to see who's going to win this. So, Andrew, what are the scores before we move into the final episode of the Andrew and Pete Show?
Okay, Pete, so Amy Schmittauer is up from 0. She is on 5 points. We've got Anne Handley on 6 points. Mark Schaefer on 10 points. Jay Bear on 11 points. Then we have 3 people on 12 points. We've got Chris Ducker, we've got Kim Garst, and we've got Joe Polizzi. Peg Fitzpatrick has dropped the slot. She is now sitting in 3rd place with 17 points. And out of nowhere, Brian Fanzo is came from bottom of the pile. He was 3rd last week. He is now sitting in 2nd place with 18 points. Still trying to chase the leader, Jay Akunzo, who has 25 points. All to play for as we go into the final episode.
This is tense.
Is it tense?
It's so tense.
I'm pretty sure it's tense.
It's
okay.
So tense. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe to find out who is going to make it to the top and be crowned the ultimate marketing champion. This is our first podcast, guys, so please, please give it a great review and rating in whatever app that you use to listen to podcasts. It's going to help us out a lot and help more people to find the show.
That, guys, was the penultimate episode of
The Andrew and Pete Show.